Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because today we have a great show for you. And I can't even wait to get started, because we have a really special guest, and she's a returning guest, and she is a fabulous guest, in fact, because she has written some really great books that you can find on Amazon, and one of them is It's Not Easy to Be a Woman. And, of course, we all know that, right? And the other book is her latest book she's going to share with us, Looking at the Bright Side Mostly. And that is very important, to look at the bright side of life. But how do we do that? I think she's going to give us some tips and enlighten us and entertain us and empower us to be a better person and look on the bright side of life. And we all need to do that, because there's so many troubling things happening around the world that we need to block of our minds. So let's get started and enter into the world of authors and experts right after this important message.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because if you just missed the opening, we are going to enter into the world of authors and experts, as you look forward to, every Wednesday. And we'll be adding also next week the Justice Club as well. And so today we have Esther Perlman, and she is a writer, an author, and a artist, and she loves poetry. She's into family, and that is so important today. It's an important issue, in fact. So let's see if she can bring us some sunshine with her latest book and cheer us up, Looking at the Bright Side Mostly. Let's get started and welcome our very special guest, to Esther Perlman. Welcome back, Esther. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you very much. It was so nice to talk to you last time. I hope it was much fun this time.
We should always have fun. It's a sunshiny day here on the West Coast, right?
Yes, we used to go to the book publishing club, and he used to meet once every other month, Irwin Zucker, and it was about 100 people showing up, Sportsman's Lodge, and we met you a couple times. I met you, and it was so nice that you're having me on the show today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and always a pleasure. And you're on the Los Angeles County area, and I'm on the OC area. So it's a little bit different. Well, actually, it's a lot of difference between Los Angeles and Orange County, who's more laid back except during the summertime. in Los Angeles, who's always got action going because they make movies and they're have lots of businesses and a lot of action going on in theater and so forth. So it just depends. There's good and positive things happening in just about anywhere you live, depending on what makes you happy. So tell us, Esther Perelman, for the audience who isn't familiar with your books or yourself, tell us a little bit about your childhood and your parents, and if you had siblings, were they on the bright side of life?
Well, let's see. Well, my parents were born in the island of Rhodes in the Mediterranean Sea, and that was the ancient wonder of Rhodes, which was not there anymore, the Colossals of Rhodes. And so what happened was my mother's boat was the last boat to leave when Greece was bothering them, you know, to come. So they came to, she came to Seattle, and my father had left. He's 10 years older, and he came to L.A. And so I'm Sephardic, and so he went to Seattle and met my mother, and she had been living with her aunt because her father remarried because her mother passed away. So her father remarried and didn't like her. And so my mother was told to live with her aunt, who had two boys, and she needed a housekeeper, like Cinderella, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
it's another book.
Yes. So then what happened was my mother was at a Sephardic picnic with all the Sephardics, Spanish Jewish people, and my father saw her, and she was really beautiful, and he liked her, and then he asked her to marry her, you know, a couple weeks later or something, and told him that he was rich, so she wanted to get out of there. She wanted to get out of Seattle, and she didn't finish high school. She was up to 16 or 17. So she married, and my father, and he had a couple of businesses that weren't doing well. But anyway, he ended up working in Watts and having a store that was robbed a couple of times a week, not every day. So that was tough on my mother. So I was from kind of a poor family, although we did have a house, and my father used to go gambling at the horse races, and but he always came home every night. So then, my mother had my older brother was 7 years older than me, and then my younger brother 3 years younger, and my sister's 9 years younger. So she's, you know, a loving mother, smoked a lot, ate a lot, and she made this wonderful Sephardic food. It was, I don't know if you've ever had, you know, like a spanakopita and boyuz and masapan. Have you ever heard of those words?
A couple of them, but not all of them, no.
Well, they're absolutely delicious, but I don't make them. My husband, Ashkenazi, he's a Yiddish person that they like kreplach and matzo meal and a lot of fattening stuff. But so that was my childhood. And then I didn't have very, you know, good clothes. My mother would make my clothes, and the kids at school would make fun of me because my clothes didn't look like their clothes. And so, and then I was born with a lordosis, which is a curvature of the spine. So when I was in school, I'd have to go to another school, walk 5 miles to the other school to do exercise, and then come back to class so that my back would be straighter. And so I was always in corrective classes, and that's why I'm a little screwball. I mean, that's why I try to make fun of things and laugh at things, and it creates, a different slant on life. And so anything that happens to me, I write it down that's weird, you know. Like,
no, not really, because I think it's important to do. Most people don't do it, and then they forget, right?
Did they do what?
Oh, most people forget what happened, and so it's important to write down that are important to you. So you really had not a truly bright side to life, but you kept a bright spirit inside of you despite all of the problems that you encountered. And I think that's a really great thing, to be positive no matter what we're faced with. Even as a child, I had a nickname. Everybody in my family and friends called me Rosie, except my mother. She always called me Rosemarie. And so did you have a nickname when you were growing up in school or your family? Or did they always call you
Well,
Esther?
Actually, Esther's not my real name. But my father and mother had an argument about his mother's name was Esther and my mother's name was Mildred. And so my mother put Mildred Esther on the birth certificate. That's why nobody could ever find me. But they call me Esther all my life, you know. So I'm Esther, but on my birth certificate, you know, it's not.
Esther, like in the Bible.
Yes. And I
see you're a princess and a queen.
Yes. So. Well, some people would call me other things.
Well, me too. I don't pay attention to them. I just, like you, I like to look at the bright side and always remember to laugh at life, because it always sideswipes you somehow. You think everything's going smooth.
I know. Well, it's just, don't watch the news and watch comedy and talk to you. Those are great things to do.
It's good to talk to the rose.
Talk to the rose.
Yes.
All right.
Well, you know, the rose likes to make people laugh, because I was in the beauty industry for 25 years, and it causes their, I can't remember now, that cause you to stay younger and think better and clearer and remove the negativity from your brain, and endomorphins. You know what it does to you, Esther? Causes less wrinkles than if you're grumpy and you're always looking angry and squinching your face. So you stay younger longer, mentally and physically and spiritually. Helps you get through life.
Smelling eucalyptus leaf. makes you breathe better.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I know that you were involved, you know, that you like to write about your family. You're very family oriented, and you don't mind sharing your story about yourself and your children who are important to you in your work, in your writings and the poetry and so forth. So now that I learned a little bit and the audience learned a little bit about your childhood, which is very intriguing, and sounds like a book you could write.
Nobody wants to read that.
People love to hear stories of, you know, other people's lives and how they got to where they were at, because it's not easy to write that many books as 11 as you have done, going to a dozen now, and actually become a popular author as you are. So tell me what inspired you then to write Looking at the Bright Side. Mostly.
Well, I usually write what's going on in my life at the time, you know, like, yesterday, but this is for the next book. Get a preview. But, I went to Whole Foods and I saw this striking woman who's like 6 feet tall, dressed with sweat clothes on, but they're beautiful sweat clothes, look like cashmere sweat clothes, and white, a black outfit, and with white shoes. And I'm looking at her, and then she, and I was looking at what she bought, and so she had this beautiful bouquet of flowers, and then she was looking at me, and then we walked around, and she happened to be behind me when we were waiting in line to go into cash register. And she came up to me. She said that she liked my sweater because she does knitting. Because my sweat, I have this lavender sweater that has a lot of balls on it because it's acrylic. It's mm-hmm. not supposed to have the balls on.
Right.
But and I said, well, you know, I'm supposed to use, you know, Scotch tape, take the balls off. And she, oh, I like it like that. And then I was asking her if she was a model actress, and she had been and lived in France, and she's got a real cute, nice husband now. So that was just meeting her. And then when I had to leave, because although I'm doing a play now, Rose, so that's my next thing to do. So then I thought, oh, she'd be great for as an actress for my play, but I guess she's not doing it anymore. And then the checker called out and said, you're next. So I talked to him and gave him my stuff. So I'm walking out to the parking lot, and all of a sudden, because it's very, the way the cars were set up, they were slanted and it was very tight. And you had to be very careful when you're backing out and stuff. But I was walking by this one car, and all of a sudden it beeped. And then the light went on, and I didn't see anybody in there. And so I turned around, and this guy was using his clicker, and he turned on the motor. And I said, what are you doing? He was out of the car. He said, well, the new Chrysler, you can do automatic, you know, turn on the motor thing. And I thought that was a weird thing, you know. So that'll probably be in my book. But and he said, somebody gave me this car. And I was going to say, who? But I didn't want to be too intrusive. And so anyway, I thought that was a weird thing. The two things with the lady with the you know, beautiful woman with modeling, had been an actress, and then the guy with the car. So those are kind of two unusual things. So that's what I write in my, you know, look for the bright side. And then, of course, with the virus, and you're living with somebody, you know, you're always in their way, my husband. And so we have a three-level townhouse. I think I told you about what happened last time, remember, when I had to go and get my kombucha drink open, and I had to go down one level and then come back, and then the Spectrum guy came. I had to go down two levels and go through the garage and open the door, the gate for him. So my husband loves violence. So anytime he wants to watch, get me out of the room, I said, well, what are you going to watch? Because he knows how to turn all those things for Netflix and whatever. And he knows I like romance or comedy. And he says, well, I'm going to put on a Nazi movie. So then I just go upstairs. So then it's aggravating. And then so aggravating, I tell you. And then I try to, you know, be in a good mood, so that it doesn't let me, he doesn't let me, or anything is bothering me, it will let me. They say, take a box and the aggravation, you put it in that box, and then just wipe that box out. That's what I heard the other day. I thought that was sound like a cool idea, to get rid of your anger and your things that disturb you. And sometimes something will disturb you, you know, it'll all of a sudden come into your brain that it's bothering you, and then so then you have a box and just put that in there.
Yeah, I've heard that before, where, you know, or a trash can, and just pretend that you just
threw it in the trash. It's gone. They took it. It's gone. It's dumped, shredded. You'll never see it again, never hear from it again. But like you say, sometimes it still pops into your brain, and it can put you in a bad mood.
Also, I'm doing this thing called chakra music on Google, and you put chakra music, and you can play, close your eyes and listen to it, and it will, if it has enough hertz, S-E-T-Z, or H-E-R-T-Z, it will make the sound go through your chakras and around your body, and it'll take you out of your aggravation too.
Well, I'm not aggravated right now, but I'll definitely give it a try when I am.
I'm glad. Maybe I hope you didn't get aggravated at the end of our conversation.
No, I'm not aggravated at all, actually, right now anyway.
But you know, that kombucha drink, that really makes you feel like you're high a little bit too.
Oh, maybe
kombucha.
I need one.
Oh, no.
Never tried
them. Have a good breakfast?
I know. I've never tried it, no. But
oh,
I know a lot
yeah.
of people are into it.
Yeah, I talked to this one guy. He helped me with a book one time, and I told him about it. He said, oh, my mother used to make it. I used to hate the smell of my house because it smelled like beer all the time. So
I
was like
beer,
you know,
though.
try to give a, you know, helpful hint to some kid, you know. They just think I'm behind the time.
Old school, old fashioned.
Yeah.
Not cool.
I know.
I know. But it's okay because guess what? You plant seeds in their heads and guess what? It's there. And eventually one day they pop in and say, oh, I remember that lady that told me blah, 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 blah. So
yeah.
I know you like to laugh. So who are some of your favorite comedians and movies that you like to watch?
Well, the comedian, Phyllis Diller, do you remember her?
Yeah.
She was 95 when she died. So there's hope for all of us. 95, you like keep laughing. And she had, it said in Google, it said she had 6 children, but then she said she had 5 children. So I don't know who's right, but probably she was. But if she had 5 children, and then her husband, they had an inheritance, and then he spent money unwisely, and like she said, they'd have a small backyard, stamp size backyard, and he would have a gardener for that little tiny backyard, and so she said he wasted a lot of money. So then, and they didn't have any money, so she said. He said, why don't you go and become a comedian? And that's how she started. And
well,
she
you never
went
know.
Through all those. Yeah, just become a comedian over at the nightclub and everybody laughed. And she had those weird hairdos. And she wasn't attractive, just a great personality. And very, of course, she made fun of her husband, Fag, I think it was. And, Fang, was it Fang? Fang, yeah.
I think
not Fang.
Fang.
No, that's not very nice. Yeah, so she, but you know, and then she was talking about Joan Rivers, how she got messed up because she would talk about her husband, her real husband. See,
oh.
And so Phyllis, Joan Rivers decided to get off Johnny Carson and have her own show because, her husband told her to leave his show, and then Johnny Carson blackballed her, and then she, you know, really wrecked her career for a while. And then, of course, he killed himself. So, I mean, these are not good stories, but the guy deserved to be. No, I don't know who he deserves.
The wonders of married life.
I know.
They lived happily ever after, right?
That's what they
Isn't that what we were taught in school?
Yes, yeah, that's right. That's
just find your prince,
good.
And he'll be your prince forever, and you will never have to worry or wonder, you know, about anything again. You can just live happily ever after, like the Walt Disney says.
Yes, oh, good old Walt. Yeah.
Well,
the
they're not so popular today. They're not so happy after all.
Yeah, they're not.
Isn't that supposed to be the happiest?
Yeah, gotta look at someplace else for happiness. Look on your show. That's happy.
Well,
you know that song?
You know,
if you're happy, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Remember that camp song? I don't know if you. Have.
Oh yeah,
have
I forgot
that?
About that, but yeah, I remember that.
That's good. That sounds like a real clap.
That was a real clap. And so, yeah. And so, tell us about why you wrote the book as well, which is a great title. It's Not Easy Being a Woman. It's super popular.
Oh, you know, I always blame it on that, you know, because men are, some of them are so mean. Like I went into a drapery store to see, I went into a drapery store because I saw some empty walls on their wall. I said, well, I'm an artist. Would you like some paintings? And he said, only if you talk dirty to me.
Oh. And you said?
Forget about it. Yeah.
It's another book title for you. Only if you talk dirty to me.
That's a good idea, yeah. Well, I know. It's a big job because, like, we had Passover a couple of weeks, Easter time. Same thing. Anyway, so I had talked my daughter into having it at her house, and so only in the backyard because she didn't want my son didn't have his vaccine shot. So then, so I talked her into having the party, and so I brought most of the food, and then my son calls up. After he was driving for 10 minutes, he says, well, I'm bringing two of my dogs. And, you know, they already had a fight about something else, you know, about the, you know, having to be in the same closed area in a house or in a restaurant or anything. She didn't want to have anybody, you know, that has had not had the shot. So she calls me and says, Larry's bringing in two dogs. I don't want to have two dogs. We're going to be eating outside, and my dog doesn't like to have any other dogs. So I'm going back and forth with this aggravation. And I said, Larry, you should not bring your dog. She's going to the trouble of having it at her backyard. So, well, I'm already in the car. Been driving half an hour. So he brings his car. So my daughter was very upset, you know, and she tried to hold it in. It's, after all, we were supposed to be happy for Passover. And so then he brings he ties up the two dogs in the front screen where the little porch is, and they're moving. They're making noise with the screen door bang. So then we're outside starting to eat, and then he takes the dogs, asks if he could put the dogs in the backyard where the swimming pool was. So of course the dog got loose and went around and started, you know, my husband was trying to do the Passover service. And my son took him back and tied him again, and of course he was barking. And so this is just a little happy Passover we were having. And so
yeah,
this is
how does that even happen to so many families, including mine? You know, you get together and then it turns in, supposed to be a happy time. Everybody's supposed to be participating. Then it turns into some kind of a circus sometimes.
I know, yes.
What just happened?
I know. And then one of the girls that my daughter brought, invited, who's not Jewish, knew more about Jewish than we did, you know. So, and she had Jewish music, so we could all sing songs. And my husband did a great job talking about it. And then my son looks at me with goo-goo eyes, real sweet and gentle. And I, God, you just melt, you know, when these kids say, you know, look at you sometimes. And so comes over and sits next to me, holds my hand. And I said, oh, my God. I was really mad at him. And he kind of just turned it around. It was strange.
Yeah, sons can do that. I mean, my son, he's just, he'd make me laugh or he'd cook something for me or, you know, and you know, you forget you were even mad at them or why you were mad at them. There's something about boys and, you know, they could just charm their moms, you know.
I'm so glad you have a son like that too. Isn't that nice? He's never done that before. Held my hand, but he knew he was in deep. What do you call it? Stuff.
But you know, you'll never forget that moment. Those are the moments that make human life and family important. Are those particular moments because they stick in your brain. And you never forget when your son came and he held your hand. And that's important. That's what humanity is all about. And people want to wipe it out, I have no choice. I have no answer for that.
Well, yeah, he wanted to be on my good side. He knew his sister's mad at him. And but also, it was very nice. And then he's written a lot of poetry for me in a lot of the books, you know. And and then I put his picture. I think I gave you the book, didn't I? I sent the book to you.
You did send me a book.
Yeah, so there's a picture with him and the two little white dogs. They were going to take the two dogs and mate them and sell the dogs, but it didn't work out. They still have the two dogs.
So your sons are...
Also,
so you just take life and you just embrace it. Even if it's a negative, you turn it around and you do. But it isn't just in your book, looking at the bright side mostly. It isn't just about not practicing certain things like controlling your mind, controlling your mouth. Very hard to do. And learning to de-stress and to bring in positivity into your body like you do the chakras and other people meditate on other things and pray or listen to music and so forth and take deep breaths and inhale and exhale 24/7, which is what God commanded us to do, the breath of life, so we can live healthy lives. Air is so important to every part of our body, including our brain, our heart, our organs, our lungs, our cells, and our immune system. So so it's so important to do that as well. So you don't just say, you know, it's just going to be bright and you can just laugh at it. You want to laugh at it in a positive way, it seems to me, and you want to be active, proactive on making that happen with your own behaviors. Is that correct? And that's what you are actually promoting in your book, looking at the bright side mostly?
Absolutely, yes. Also then, when we went to the Father's Day party, or was it my husband's birthday, and my son, who was on the other side of the table, and my daughter was on the other side, and he gave this nice present of how to stop gout. So he had a bag saying Happy Father's Day, and then he opened it up, and it had an onion, a garlic, turmeric, beets, and a cucumber, and crackers, and that if you eat that every morning, you won't have gout. So I thought that was very unusual to give a present like that. So my husband And of course, does he eat that? Oh, avocado too. Does my husband eat it? No. No. It's so aggravating. You know, here is a remedy to help people with heart and gout, and you know, you'd think that they would listen, but
and well, then with I find that it's not family so much that will listen or support you as much as strangers.
Yeah, well, the strangers are not giving good advice. I was losing some strangers, friends that we've had for years. And,
oh, strange friends.
I mean,
yeah, those
friends,
are strange friends.
They're a little strange.
We all have
well,
them.
I mean,
they probably
yeah,
think I'm
but,
strange, too.
No, I know. Well, it takes one to know one, but still... but it's good to be a little, you know, especially your health oriented as well as I am. And people just like to do their own thing and don't like to be told what to do.
Until something happens. And hopefully it doesn't, but, you know, that's usually
what
happens.
Yeah, the one story that I wrote about was my husband was working about 2 years ago, and he had already been in the hospital 10 times already. So he calls up. He told me that he was going to go to the doctor's office. And he called me up. He says, well, you better come. I'm going to go to the hospital. So I go over there, and there's an ambulance there. And the ambulance wanted to charge $500 to drive him to Cedars-Sinai. And Amari says, no, my wife will drive me. he was in a... laying there, you know, wrapped up in one of those gurney things. And so I'm thinking, well, I know he wants to save $500, and he doesn't look so bad. So as we were driving by St. John in Santa Monica, he said, oh, you better take me here instead of Cedars-Sinai. So I go to the parking lot, and he says, you go park the car and I'll walk in. It's like, oh my God. He's still dictating to me even when he's going to go to the hospital, you know. But they didn't have enough room he had to wait in the hallway. He's talking to the nurse when I come back from parking the car. And then he just stayed one day and left. After all that.
Well,
but
you know, you remind me of
how
he what? I'm sorry, what did you say?
It's really weird how they are. They're so stupid.
Well, you reminded me of a story that a lady told me. She was an older lady, and she said, we were talking, and I don't know, just started talking. And then she said, yeah, well, my husband just passed away. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And she said, oh, don't be sorry. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm finally free. I can shop. I could buy whatever I want. I got the inheritance. I am so happy.
Oh, that is funny. My God.
Oh, true story too. I was like standing there in shock, and I started laughing. I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Well, I guess I'm not sorry then. I'm happy for you. Oh my goodness!
It just depends on the person, you know. This like my best friend passed away last year. She had a memory problem, so her husband put her in a really beautiful memory place. And, of course, she got the virus right after and died after 5 days. But she was there a couple months. But he felt so guilty. He had almost had a stroke. But then he decided he wasn't going to have a – he was a psychologist. So he decided he was going to talk himself out of – so he could walk again. And he did. And he loves his nursing home he's at and his kids – see him and everything, and he wants to go to India, and he's like 88 years old. But it's so weird how how unusual things happen and how strong one can be when some tragedy like that happens. It's just a matter of how, like, mind over matter.
It is definitely mind over matter, and it's also taking care of your brain and as much as you can. And, you know, I mean, you still have to, you know, you can cheat once in a while or whatever you want to do, but be aware, you know, that it's important to try to stay on track so that, you know, your body can stay healthy and your brain and have a sound mind. And with all these microwaves and EMPs and radiation that we're just bombarded with, we can't see it, we don't think about it, in the computers, in the iPhones, in the cars, and in the airplane, everywhere you go, at the airports, they radiate you, you know, which is a killer. And so the thing
you,
is
do you
that,
have some things that you know about that you wear to protect yourself? There's a thing that I have, a pendant by I don't know if I could say, but her name is Myers, and she's a nutritionist. She sells these pendants that you wear around your neck, and it's supposed to protect you from an electromagnetic field. Now, I live in an alley with a whole bunch of telephone poles, and I bought one of those EMF machines. You're just supposed to tap it, and you go around to wherever has the highest amount of electromagnetic field. But I saw something on television yesterday, actually. It had, they were selling those electromagnetic field little machines, and then they were suggesting, instead of LED lights, to buy light bulbs. Light bulbs are better than LED lights. And they were talking about, you know, buying, you know, growing your own vegetables and organic vegetables and things like that. Do you do anything for the electromagnetic field?
Well, I do buy these little, I think they're working better than anything else I've tried. They're little, like, circular things that you stick on your computer, on your microwave, on your phones. They're PWR guards is the name of them. And I bought them online, and then I bought some more because they do seem to help cut down on the EMPs and the radiation and microwaves that are coming into our lives, and they're killers for our bodies and our mind too.
Oh, that's good that you did that. Did you do that through the whole house and everything?
I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How many did you buy?
Yeah. Well, I bought anything that had any, you know, televisions, anything like that, that has those.
Anything electric?
Yeah.
Did you take your microwave out of your house?
No, I didn't. I just put one of those on. I don't use the microwave. I started as much because I started, like, using more, you know, cooking more food on the stove and using and boiling, using my teapot and things like that, just to cut down on the microwaves.
See, my husband, when he does his dishes, he puts too much soap in the water. And the soap goes up the faucet, and I have one of those thing, hot water and cold water, and the soap goes into the spigot. And when I pour something on that with the hot water, the bubbles come from the soap. So then I go every 2 weeks, take my empty bottles and go to Whole Foods, and then they have a machine, and I use their water. And, you know, I buy about, you know, get about 6 full bottles and then drink it myself. And then he's still drinking water with bubbles in it.
It sounds like you could actually write a movie, a short play on just you and your husband living in a 3-story condo as a comedy.
Yes, it is a comedy. Yes, that's exactly. I'll show it to you when I'm done with it. I've got it's just probably what I've said already, but it's a little different. But it's true. They do have a lady named Jessica Johnson, and she does one woman plays. She's a director, and then they have at Santa Monica Playhouse. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it, but I always wanted to do it. But I might hire somebody to do it, memorizing on it.
Yeah, I always say, you know, you just have to take action, because if that's what you want to do and you can have the time to do it, then do it, because life's short and why not do it? And so, Esther, gosh, it's been a pleasure talking to you and hearing about your family and your husband and the wonderful story you told us about your son. So now's your time to shine, and you can tell us your website, and you can also tell us where they can buy your wonderful books.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. Yeah, I'm on EstherPerlmanBooks.com, and on my website for my art, I have 20 years of art in my studio just sitting there. It's EstherPerlman.com is my art. And then I'm on YouTube also. I had a comedy routine that I did a long time ago. I interviewed one of my art teachers, Woodle, Tom Woodle. That's a funny name. I went to Brentwood Art Center, and I told him that I was a radio TV film major, and I would like to make a mural. And so the whole class made this mural on their wall. So I videotaped them making that. So it's making a wall with Tom Woodler. And so that was 30 years ago. And so I had a video made of that. And then so that's on YouTube. So those are some of the places you can see me.
And are your books on Amazon?
Delight, Rose. Say it again.
Oh, are your books on Amazon.com? Can they buy your books on Amazon?
They can put EstherPerlman.com, and then also, yeah, they can buy it from Amazon.com. Some children's books are not on there, but my last, I guess, 8 or so are on there.
Great.
But you know, it's so fun just to stay in your room and just write whatever you feel like. That's a good
fantastic
way to not deal with all the aggravation outside. But I know it's important to see be out in the sun 10 minutes.
It's a fun, it's fun, and it's a passion, and it's a love, and it's an escape from reality sometimes. And so, yes, then you can make yourself laugh, and nobody knows what you're laughing about or at them. It has been great talking to you again. Keep up the good work, and we'll find out what you're up to next, the next interview.
Thank you so much. Good talking to you, Rose. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. And Esther Perlman has left the building. And be sure to go get her book on Amazon, It's Not Easy Being a Woman and Looking at the Bright Side Mostly. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because now we are leaving the world of authors and experts with our wonderful guest, Esther Perlman, who has left the building. And now we have some news that I looked up, and I think it's brand new, hot off the press. And it says from Breitbart, Texas court rules Facebook can be held liable for sex trafficking on platform. The Texas Supreme Court ruled on Friday that Facebook is not a lawless no man's land and can be held liable for sex traffickers using its platform to prey on children, could be held accountable following three lawsuits in Texas, which involved teenage sex traffic victims who met their pimps through the social media platforms messaging functions, according to a report by the Houston Chronicle. The social media company is now being sued for negligence and product liability as prosecutors say Facebook failed to warn about or block sex trafficking from taking place on its platform. Instead, they deplatformed the Rose and many, many others on the right. The lawsuits also allege that Facebook benefited from the sexual exploitation of trafficking victims. Facebook's legal team, however, reportedly argued that the company is protected from liability under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which states that online platforms are not responsible for third-party content posted on their site. Well, this is part of the Justice Club that I am adding to Colombo Chronicles. As a longtime advocate for justice, I am going to argue with these lawyers because I am not a lawyer, but I have firsthand experiences with injustices and legal abuses, as well as consulted with victims who I helped them with their cases so that with suggestions, not legal advice, so that they could become survivors. And I wrote the book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, featured around the world, and it won the Irwin Award by the Book Publicists of Southern California. And so I want to make my suggestions here and argue with these lawyers. It says, Facebook's legal team, however, reportedly argued that the company is protected from liability under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which states that online platforms are not responsible for third-party content posted on their site. Well, that is very hypocritical because they deplatformed the President of the United States of America and his messages. They deplatformed many GOP senators on the right and congressional members. They deplatformed many of us patriots who expressed our point of views and exercised freedom of speech and accused us of misinformation, disinformation, harassment, hate speech, you name it. So if they could hire fact checkers to remove conservatives, including doctors, lawyers, politicians, and their members who are conservatives from their platform for years, at least the past 3 years when COVID hit their platform, because prior to that, people like myself had tens of thousands of Facebook friends and brought them advertising because it's the members who have large memberships so that those people join as well. They get billions of dollars from advertising when their numbers are high with memberships. And so they praised my posts. They were so popular, and Facebook was so positive about me and my post. And then in 2019, when COVID hit, anyone who was a conservative and questioned Dr. Fauci, the COVID jabs, Bill Gates, and his fear-mongering and telling us we had no choice but to be jabbed and that they would inject a genetically engineered organism into every child's veins. And then they did not suspend or restrict anyone on the left or sex traffickers, which shows not only discrimination against the right, but it is an influence to promote the left and ignore sex traffickers when they were spying on conservatives who were not sex traffickers and were not committing crimes, but accused of committing hate speech, which is a crime. And they aren't even lawmakers or law enforcers, to my knowledge. But they did do that, and they did take that upon themselves. So how can it be that they could spy and suspend and restrict their members who weren't committing any crimes other than they didn't like their political view or their questions or their comments about anyone on the left, disagreement with anyone on the left, and then claim that they aren't responsible for people, pedophiles, sex traffickers, trying to recruit and traffic more children. So I just wanted you to think about that. So it also says holding internet platforms accountable for words or actions of their users is one thing. And the federal precedent uniformly dictates that Section 230 does not allow it, the court opinion said. Holding internet platforms accountable for their own misdeeds is quite another thing. Now, if they're going to report people because of their political to law enforcement, why weren't they reporting sex traffickers and pedophiles? Who's going to save these children? The injustices added that Congress has recently amended Section 230 to add the possibility of civil liability for platforms that violate state and federal human trafficking laws, reports the Houston Chronicle. In an interview with 60 Minutes, one sex trafficking victim revealed how a predator used Facebook to lure her away from her family when she was 15. The woman is now suing Facebook, alleging that the social media giant failed to stop sex trafficking on its platform. And this is a very, very positive move towards justice for the children and against the predators of children, because some of those children are brutally violated and snuffed out. And there's millions of children who have gone missing. So it's a very, very important decision by this judge. And God bless this judge for protecting the children. And on that note, I have to say, time is running out to wish you a very, very blessed day, a very safe and a very good day for justice and for the children and for family and for the safety and welfare of this country, and maybe it's a step closer to securing the borders from allowing unidentified foreigners into our country who may be trafficking drugs guns, fentanyl, and children and human organs in and out of our country. The time is now to stand up and stand up for justice.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.